it ain't made by Elmar, then it's not lit.
Elmar, this one cold.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I thank you first off for coming and spending time with us and enjoying these podcasts. You can always catch me on any podcast platform. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. You can catch me right here on Facebook Live. Or you can catch me soon. You will be able to see these soon on YouTube. But thank you. I really appreciate and value what you do and how you're spending time watching these podcasts. So this week, we got another jam-packed episode. We got another exciting episode. As a matter of fact, we are continuing on the conversation after last week's show with Burtis, Squeaky Jordan. This is one of the smartest, most intelligent, wisest people that I know. He's very intellectual. He has a lot of information. I've always said that this guy should have been on Jeopardy at some point in his life. My uncle is very intelligent, but the conversation starts off, and we are continuing to, we had a conversation in reference to self-evaluation, how to correct yourself, how to check yourself, how to self-identify where you're at. And this week, we go continue on that conversation. Last week, he ended off with a statement that he heard from my grandma, Ms. Merlin Jordan. And she has so many profound statements. She used to say a bunch of stuff like, if you lay down with dogs, you're bound to get up with fleas. She used to say all types of stuff, like little sayings like that. And last week we ended off with the saying that Burtis remember, which was, it's your little red wagon. So you can choose how to push it or pull it. And we're going to dive right into that. This week, we're going to start off with diving into that saying, because it's a lot to unpack, especially in reference to self-evaluation. So I hope you can sit back, relax, enjoy with another episode of Wonder Why with me, your host, L Wonder, featuring Burtis Jordan this week, Squeaky, as conversation. On self-evaluation.
And I think that's how she was, she was talking about, knowing your situation enough to, I really want to dive into that pushing and pulling. Just the extent of how you, when you pull and push, to push, it's a little bit easier to push the wagon.
It depends on which direction you push it. Are you pushing it uphill?
That's true. Oh, okay.
Are you pushing it downhill?
That's good. I didn't even think about that. See what I'm talking about?
Yeah, when she said that, I never understood what she was talking about. But it's so profound, but it's real simple too. It's real simple. It all depends on what the problem is. It all depends on which direction you're trying to take it.
That's real good.
Man, I could get so deep into this stuff.
No, we go. Let's go.
It takes different muscles to do it. You know, it takes a different skill set. You know, it's some people do think it's easier to push it. For some people, it is, you know, for them. Other people, it's easier for them to pull it, you know. But you know what the easiest thing it is to do?
What's that?
Get someone to help.
That's good. That's real good. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I want you to be on this show, because see, just that concept right by itself, like that goes into so many things. I think it's so dope that saying, first off, is telling you, you got to understand your own issue. First off, you got to know your wagon. You got to know what's going on with your wagon, because your wagon might have a bad left wheel.
Yeah.
Your wagon might have, and you know how it is. Sometimes if you transition from pushing to pulling, the wagon wheel has to twist. Or am I thinking, maybe I'm thinking about grocery carts. But either way, the wheel twists and it shifts, so you have to go around about in a different way. It just to move it differently. So I love that concept. I didn't even think about that concept. That's when I was messing with my I was telling my daughters and my wife, because now I'm in a house with all girls.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. This is real crazy. But I'm in a house with all girls. If they watching, I love y'all. But it's so crazy because in saying that, how things are done, how things are broken down now is totally different. I have to really be conscious of, but I was telling them about grandma. And I said, you know, grandma, I wish I would have met grandma. I wish I would have met Miss Jordan, because Miss Jordan had, she used to say all types of stuff. And we'd be looking like, what does that mean? Like she said the sayings like, you lay down with dogs, you go get up with fleas, or cut off your nose to spite your face, stuff like that. Yeah. So, what's some so even saying that, okay, because I love that concept about the wagon. I've never heard that before. That's my first time hearing that. What's some more stuff that Miss Jordan used to say like that? If you can think of any, and we don't have
to. Man, I can think of a lot. She said a lot. She used to, her thing of saying, I pay the cost to be the boss. Mm. Now, she used to say that all the time. What I didn't know was that's a B.B. King song. Mm. But in the song, he talking about, you know, I pay for this and I pay for that, I pay for this, I pay for that. So you can't tell me what to do, which basically what she used to tell us as her kids. I'm paying for the lights and everything else. You can't tell me what to do with my money. You know, I pay the cost to be the boss.
That's good.
That was real simple, but I never knew it was a song until like 2 years ago, actually.
But you know what? That's I like that because, you know, when I first started this podcast, I initially started talking about using sayings that people would say that's real popular, like stay woke or loyalty and stuff like that. And what I would do is I would dissect it and really break it down. But that whole, everybody, that's why I say that, because that whole boss, you see everybody talking about their boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying Jay-Z got a song about it. I'm pretty sure it's a whole bunch of other people that sing about it and write about it and post about it. I'm a boss, boss this, boss that. Most people don't really understand what it really takes to be a boss.
No.
It's just a cute figure right now, or idea, just like royalty.
Yeah.
In order to be a boss, like it's some weight. Hey, you was the supervisor. Hey, you was my supervisor at one point in time. Yeah. What did it take for you to be a supervisor?
Man. You have to know your people. You have to know their strengths and weaknesses. That way you can put them in the right place. Okay. Also, you have to have, to be over something, you have to know your people. You have to know their reliability, you know, their strengths and weaknesses, you know, what they can and can't do. And someone, because every boss needs someone up under them that they can trust. So you need those kind of, you need somebody like that. Mm-hmm. You need some, you know, you have to have the ability to organize, you know, because if you're dealing with a bunch of people, you have to have a plan, you know, and you have to have people that's able to institute your plan that you have out. So, you know, you have to do that kind of thing. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for me because for me, it was easier just for me to go and do it myself. Mm-hmm. I had to get used to giving orders.
Okay.
I had to get used to having people because I'm used to doing it myself. Even when it comes to family stuff, I think I told you that the hard thing for me to do is to ask for help because I'm just used to doing it myself. Mm-hmm. So those things are just hard for me.
You just said that reminds me of Moses and how he had to learn how to delegate because. Yeah. And I think that's a huge thing when it comes to being a boss or being a manager and in some any type of leadership is the ability to delegate, the ability to take, not just try to, because you're absolutely right. You go do it yourself. You ain't got to worry. And Amanda says it all the time. You know, she don't worry about what other people doing. She don't like to depend on people. because some people can fail you. So you yourself. I definitely agree. That's a huge, you know, I think another aspect of being a boss, and this is going to be a topic now. I'm the boss or be the boss or something like that. I'm going to use that as a topic soon. So that'll be another, that'll be another set of episodes.
Okay.
I'm the boss. But I think another thing that's necessary when it comes to being the boss is the ability to be an example first.
Like, yeah.
Can't tell somebody to be on time if you always running late yourself. Right.
That's true. That's true.
Setting the standard yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, to be a boss, you whatever your people are doing, to be a boss, you have to have been able to have done it first. You have to have been able to have done it before. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have to have been able to have done it before. If you are a manager at a restaurant, you had to have been able to cook before.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because if you don't have a cook, then what's the purpose? Exactly.
I agree with that. That's okay. Is it possible to manage in an area that you don't have expertise in?
It depends on what you're called to do.
And this is why I say that, because that's my current position. So I'm a manager. I'm an office manager. So
if you just supposed to oversee,
mm-hmm.
then that's pretty easy. But if you kind of like sharing the work that they do,
mm-hmm.
if one of them go down and you don't know how to do their part,
true. So
what happens?
It's possible. But what I'm hearing is that it's possible, but you just got to learn. You got to step in there and learn that they whole situation. Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now. That's really what I'm doing right now.
Unless you're going to accept a subpar standard.
Okay. I get that. See, and that's the truth. Whatever you put into it is what you go get out of it. If you're not trying to, that's what I'm learning the different aspects of my staff's job, and I'm doing it myself. I'm spending time scheduling appointments. I'm spending time working on the reports. I'm spending time answering phone calls. I'm spending time sitting in the PAC team so I can understand what the administrative side is, because I manage the administrative part of the medical facility.
Okay. So
all of the clerks and stuff like that, that's what I manage. I manage them. And I never done that. I never actually done their position because I came from fiscal. I came dealing with money. I came from dealing with payroll and stuff like that. So doing this now I'm getting, and I had to spend time, and I'm still spending time learning their job so I can delegate, so I can orchestrate, so I can manage who needs to move here, what needs to be done there, how to look at the algorithm or how to look at the how to look at the stats so I can understand how to move and how to maneuver differently.
Okay.
So I think that's what you're saying is very important. And what you said spoke to me as well, because that's what I'm still learning how to do. I got to continue. And I first I'm like, it's draining because I stepped into a position that I never done before.
Yeah.
But I do have, what they seen in me was the management skills.
Yeah.
So it's possible to have skills, but it's like Cornell said, always be teachable. And he told me 20 years ago, he told me be teachable.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be.
So okay. And I definitely get that. I think this is all good. And this is still in the same vein of self-evaluation. Because it is part of evaluating yourself, even as a manager, even as a boss, you still got to be able to evaluate yourself. Have you ever, and this is just a straight up question, have you ever felt like or seen people who feel like they made it, they arrived? And what could you say to people like that who already feel like I made it? Like,
well, it depends on, see, this is the thing. I used to be real critical of those people. But I've learned that it depends on what their goal is.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If if your goal is only to move out your mama house, only move out your mama house, then just getting a little rundown apartment, you've arrived. Okay. Because your goal is just to get out your mama house. That's all you want to do. That's all you want to do. Get out your mama house. You know, it depends on what the goal. That's how I've adjusted my thinking.
Okay.
Now, if they want to have an uppity attitude or something like that, you know what I'm saying? That kind of I've arrived, like they're better than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are living lies anyway, for the most part. Because most people are scared to be real because mm-hmm. they're always comparing themselves to this or that. But all of us are, for the most part, one paycheck from being destitute, out on the street. Put on top of that the fact that most of us have a bunch of debt that we don't, you know. We done arrived, we done made it, but we had $100,000 in student loan debt.
Uh-huh.
No, you ain't arrived.
Yeah, you haven't. You still got some stuff.
You know, it's those things. See that, and that's the kind of stuff that people don't pay attention to. And that's why those things like that, they used to get me upset, they don't get me upset anymore because I already know. Dude, you broke.
So it's
you
like
got all this debt and everything. You got more debt than me.
Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. I'm going to take a small break between this podcast to send you a short, brief message. If you do have any professional business writing needs, such as policies, procedures, handbooks, SOPs, or anything like that, or if you just personally are about to start another job search, or you just want to update your resume, and you want a real nice, clean, crisp, professional resume, any type of these needs, I started my own little company. I started my own business called Excellence LLC. And what I do, I write policies, procedures, any type of business documents that you may need. It can be agreements. It can be employee agreements. It can be staff agreements, whatever the case may be. I can make sure that to get those documents together for you. If you are not, if you do not have your own business and you're just looking for another job or you're looking to update your resume, I also do that as well. So if you do have a need for these things, please do not hesitate to get in contact with me. How can you do that? By emailing me. That's the best, that's the easiest way of taking care of business. That's Excellence LLC. And once you reach out to me, I can definitely give you a call. We can reach out, we can set up a time for consultation. But first off, let's start off with that email. That's excellence.llc01@gmail.com. That's excellence.llc01@gmail.com. And I will take care of your business writing and resume writing needs with the highest level of excellence. Now, go ahead and enjoy the rest of the program. So it's like when people talk about, it's like, and I go to, we go to the Word right now. We haven't been going because it's been closed, but we're members of the Word. And I know everybody got their feelings about different stuff. I'm not pressed about that because one thing I know, I go there because he teaches the Word. He teaches the solid mm-hmm. Word. And all of this, the stuff that people say, it is mm-hmm. what it is. I know what I get from there. And saying that, I'm not promoting or anything like that, but in saying that, one thing he always talks about is he always talk about freedom. And I really enjoy that concept of being free. And I don't think many people, like you, just like you said, they limit the what that means. They limit how free or your goals of being free.
Yeah.
For me, I'll admit, I don't have a problem with saying it. You know, my situation that happened when I left the Salvation Army, you know, I understand. I take full responsibility. I didn't hide it. When I got exposed, no, it was not a comfortable situation, but that exposure helped me. So that exposure set me free so that even today, somebody bring it up today, I will not be, it won't shake me or shift me because guess what? I did. Yeah, that's true. I did certain things that I wasn't supposed to, that I shouldn't have engaged in. But at the same time, now I have moved forward and I have adjusted what I've done. And I learned from it. And I just did it, but I learned from it. And I think that's the key factor. Learning from your mistakes. Please, let's do that. Please, let's
talk. You have to. You have to learn from them. You have to learn from them or it's not a mistake. It's a habit or it's a choice.
Oh, I like that.
You're choosing to do it. you're choosing to do it. You have to, and that's the thing. And that's what I mean by you just can't be settled into, well, this is just the way I am. Mm-hmm. No, that you can, if you want to change, you can change if you want to. No, not, it's not always easy sometimes. Mm. You know, change for change. I found a change for anything is not easy.
No, not because, at all.
Once again, we're creatures of habit. You know, we go to work the same way. Whether it's the long way or the short way, we go to work the same way because that's the comfortable way of us knowing how to get there.
Mm-hmm. That's funny that you said that. That's true, because Sharia was, when she first, even before, when she was driving, she would not take the freeway at all. So, you know, she worked way on the west side.
Yeah.
So whenever she would drive to work, she would take the streets.
The street.
All the way to the west.
I took her forever.
Yeah, she did. It doesn't matter. She would take a 20-minute drive and make it an hour and a half drive just to avoid the freeway. And I've seen her and watched. But you're absolutely right. We are creatures of habit and we are creatures of comfort.
Yes.
So why is it important sometimes to step out of our comfort zone?
If we don't step out of our comfort zone, we never know, you know, where our boundaries are, really.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
You know, we have to keep expanding. When you improve on yourself, you're expanding yourself. You expand yourself to new horizons, new likes, new dislikes. Maybe it's something that you never tried before and you didn't know if you liked it or not. Maybe you don't like it. Okay, now I know this. Now I know that I don't like it. You know, or like me, I don't like any kind of, I don't like whipped cream. I don't like sour cream. I don't like none of that junk. I don't like whipped cream unless it's in a Twinkie or a Ho-Ho. I just don't like it. When they take the whipped cream thing, just in their mouth, that's the most disgusting thing ever. You know, but I don't like that. You know, but it took me to taste cream, you know, whipped cream, to know that I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes some people to touch the hot stove to know, okay, that's hot. Yeah. I better not touch this, otherwise hot anymore. Mm. You know, sometimes you have to go through some things, you know, and that hopefully you learn from it. And that's the whole thing.
That's the truth. I'm sorry.
You have to remain teachable.
And this is why I say that. I say that because I think, and I know, I realize that most people don't want to go through certain things because, let's be real, stuff hurts.
Yeah.
Stuff is uncomfortable.
It's
different. It puts us, it makes us feel some type of way. It induces our stress. Just changing how you put on what sometimes people have to decide what clothes to put on. It can stress people out. And that's where we run into the problem. But I just want to really talk to people because I know it's real people out here that don't want to have to deal with change, whether it's having crucial conversations. I know somebody who, no matter what you want to talk about, if there's a back and forth, then they feel like that there's an argument. So they have a stigmatism against having an in-depth conversation because it's uncomfortable. Stuff is just hurt. So let's be real. We got to be real and accept the fact that, you know, stuff just uncomfortable sometimes. But we also, just like you said, it sounds like what you're saying is sometimes you got to deal with that uncomfortableness.
Yeah, you do.
It's better and it's beneficial to you in the long run. And I think that's where we at with this generation. I think that's where I'm caught in the middle. That's where I say that because I understand how grandma cooked. And most of the time when grandma cooked, she had to let certain things simmer and she had to basically slow cook things.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got crock pots, we got air fryers, we're not crock pots, because crock pot is the same mentality of
simmer.
But now we got stuff that we got the machine that evaporates or something like that, and it cooks your stuff a lot faster. You can cook what used to take 4 or 5 hours, you can cook it in an hour now, and all kinds of stuff like that. We need it right now. We're in a hurry up right now. So that's where that's where I'm caught at right now, is understanding the value in the technology and what we got now, but and understanding what we had. But you said something before, Can you please remember we had a conversation about the records and the CDs and records and the tapes and you said something before that really triggered me and it really gave me a whole different outlook on it. You said this is what you said something to the extent where the records, the tapes and CDs do not have a. It's talking about the quality.
Oh, the quality, yeah. Yeah, it's a different sound in them. I had a friend that they only wanted to listen to the records on the vinyl, mm-hmm. you know, because it's a different quality. Now, don't get me wrong, the CDs, the better quality is on the CDs. Mm-hmm. So you can get real, you know, until they get scratched up and stuff too, where they skip. But it's just a different. It's hard to explain, but it's just a different kind of tone. One is crisper than the other. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's just crisper. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't hear the mm-hmm. kind of in the background. So, but yeah,
it's just, you got used to that. Like that's where the bread and blood that is in, in the soulfulness. That's where the seasoning. Yeah. Yes, that's, I want. That's where the seasoning.
That goes to, you know, some of the food mama cooked. Mm-hmm. The food mama cooked, doctors and nutritionists and everything will say that junk is terrible for you. Mm-hmm. Terrible. Because it has so much sodium in it, so much salt, so much fat, so much this mm-hmm. and that, you know, but a lot of the times that's where the flavor was in all the fat and everything mm-hmm. else and all the seasoning. That's where all the flavor was at. Mm-hmm.
You know? I like that because I definitely agree that there's quality in that. Like one thing I love talking to you, Mac, because one thing that I do, I'd like to sit and I just like to talk and I like to pull whatever bits of wisdom, whatever wisdom you're throwing, because you have a lot. And when you start, I like to take it and absorb it because then I can apply it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the final step of self-evaluation comes to fruition. That's where it magnifies. That's where it culminates, is the being able to take what's being said, but not just take it, but apply it, the application process. Because a lot, like, it's just like the Bible says, it's like looking in the mirror, seeing yourself, and then walking away and forgetting what you look like.
You look like, yeah.
Like it's faith without, I mean, the knowledge without the action is worthless.
Yeah.
So you take in the insight, that's why I try to really apply what you talk about. So when it comes to, what we talking about, the discussion, looking at yourself, even when it comes to management, I appreciate it because no matter what level of management, I acknowledge those people who were there before me because they got some insight. I don't care what level of management you had. I'm learning from you.
Yeah. So
I do. Like, who are some of the people that inspired you? Like, I just want to let, now we're about to talk about Bert. Now we're about to talk about Squeaky. I always remember Squeaky walking around with the pens and the tapes and the puzzles. And you went from crossword puzzles and word searches. Now you're doing Sudoku.
Yeah. So,
like, who are some of the people that inspired you? And what about them inspired you?
Well, one of the earliest people was he was Lieutenant Edmonds then, he Colonel Edmonds now. Colonel mm-hmm. Edmonds. And I don't, maybe he was probably the father figure that I looked at, you know, because he took an interest in me. He told me something that was real simple, but it meant a whole lot. It didn't mean nothing, but it meant a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, he said that I could always come in his office and talk to him. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times I would go in his office and I would just sit down and we wouldn't say a word. Mm-hmm. But that meant so much to me because I had a place where I could go and I could get away. Sometimes we would talk about sports or whatever else. I read the USA Today because of him, to this day, because of him. But it was just his demeanor. He was never real, like, loud and, you know, I've never seen him upset. He was just always real calm, and his calmness and the stuff he said always came off like a whole lot of wisdom. So he was like one of the first people that was like real important, especially mm-hmm. at that time in my life. Because I ain't have a father figure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
The biggest influence, of course, is mama. You know, mama taught me so much and said so much, and she. I always say I wish everybody could have met my mother. I wish everybody.
That's how I feel now. I wish my kids would have been. I wish Amanda would. I wish Sharia. Yeah,
I wish everybody could have.
I could. What do you feel like she will bring that she get? What do you feel like she got to offer to everybody? Why you say everybody?
Well, I always say everybody because one thing, mama knew how to talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. She never really changed. You know, mama cussed a lot.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A lot. But she also knew that she couldn't talk that way around certain people. She mm-hmm. knew when the Salvation Army officers came, she wasn't cussing and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. she knew how to act. So I'd be, okay. She was one of the first people that made me realize that you talk different ways to different people.
Okay.
You don't talk to your boss the way you talk to your homeboys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She taught me that.
Okay.
I learned that from her. Some of the things she could have brought, she could have, I think.
Lift up your camera.
I think that she would have brought a lot of humor to a lot of things, but I also think that she would have also think that a lot of things that went on in the family after she passed away, I think that a lot of that stuff wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
I think that those of us who have wild kids that hit that age where they were just going buck nutty, I mm-hmm. think if she was here, I don't think that would have happened.
Yeah, because she checked me.
You know, I think that holidays would have been a whole lot bigger. You know, we would all been at the big house with her. You know, we still be going through these stories. Everybody be still be checking on. I don't think my siblings that are as far away as they are, I don't think that they would be gone as far.
Okay.
I think people would still be closer to Cleveland.
Okay.
You know, that's just me. Maybe they would have. Maybe Miranda would still be in Florida. Maybe Gene would still be in Warren. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would have if mom would still be alive. That's just my own personal thought.
Okay. So do you think that, because this is what I'm learning, and I say that because I now that my losing a spouse, losing a wife, losing my a brother and a sister, I'm looking at, and I don't know everything about death. I understand biblically, it teaches mm-hmm. us to be absent from the body is to be closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I understand that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. So in saying that, I don't know everything, but these are things that God has really spoke to me in these moments of losing people to help me deal with, and not just deal with, but understanding on a different level. That's why I made this comment that I did when it comes to Sharia and me and Sharia, as far as what we did in the household for education, but with her being gone, it opened up the door for Amanda to be here. And she took us and our education to a different level.
Right.
In saying that, we know we love Miss Jordan. We know I wish Miss Jordan was around to see my children being born and everything. I wish my grandma saw me, because I remember how she felt when she said to me when I was messing up in school. So I wish that she would have been able to see me graduate college, going through getting my master's degree and different stuff like that. Can you see how God utilized grandma not being here in some people's lives?
Oh yeah,
I know it's touching.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember talking to Mama, and Mama said that the only thing she asked God was for her baby to be able to take care of herself before he took her. Mm. That's Trish. Mm-hmm. Trish was old enough. And I think a lot of those things, everything was put in place. Yeah, her mama being here was painful to everybody, and everybody misses her, you know, in their own way. But we were also prepared a lot of ways that I think some people weren't. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's some things that mama, you know, instituted that we still do. We still get together. Mm-hmm. We still get together. After a while, it's going to be, okay, we all doing such and such and such and such. Mm-hmm. Everybody get together. And that's just what we do. Uh-huh. You know, and that's because of her. You know, the you know, Thanksgiving dinners at Trish or wherever, or that's all because of her.
Backyard barbecue, you know, nanny, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all because of her. You know, the way we are with our kids, whether our kids think that we're hard on them, that's because of her. Mm. That's all because of her. You know, wanting to help our children, you know, be better, helping them to avoid some pitfalls. You know, that they're not going to. Sometimes they're going to, yeah, you know, like I said, they're going to have to bump their head. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you be there, you know, pick them up. Okay, what you learn from this? Okay, so you're not going to do that no more. And then you move on to something else.
Uh-huh.
You know, all that came from her.
That's good. I ask that because I really want to make sure that at least from us, and I say that because I don't have control of many things, and I'm glad, and I understand. I'm not the type of person who feel like I need to have control of everything. I understand that I understand the humility in releasing and relinquishing control of everything.
Yeah.
In saying that though, the podcast is something that I can kind of drive certain narratives and certain messages and certain mentalities. And that's one of the things that I definitely want to make sure that is clear from this and clear. Yeah. With especially with the people, everybody got their own views and opinions, but I think there's a value, and God still can work through our losses, through our tragedies, through our hurts, through our pains.
Yeah.
Because when it says it in Romans, it said in all things, it didn't say some of the stuff. It didn't say when it's beneficial. It didn't say whatever you post on Facebook. It said all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So that's huge. Even when my grandmother passed, that he still used that to work together. Even when I lost my job, he still used that to work together. Even when I got separated, and I'm not saying, it did not say that he was, it does not say he made those things happen.
Right.
It said he used those for the good.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that that's really that information we all got a chance to grab onto it.
Yeah. So sometimes it takes us going through some things to get us to the next level. You know, it's not always easy. It's not always. Sometimes it's painful. You know, that's why they call them growing pains. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's painful. You know, sometimes it's uncomfortable. You know, but it's only uncomfortable for a moment. All it, you know, that's another thing Bible say. All this stuff is just a moment. Mm-hmm. All these situations and stuff is just a moment. You know, we're always called to endure through it because there's something waiting for us on the other side, whether it's another position, a better lifestyle, or maybe maybe a burden is being taken off our back, mm-hmm. You know? There's some things that we had to do before that we ain't got to do now. And it's like, woo, I remember back when I had to do such and such.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I used to have to catch the bus to work every day. Two buses. Two. You know, I don't have to do that anymore. It wasn't easy.
I bring that up all the time to my kids. It was one point in time where as soon as I moved into this house, I moved into the house And that weekend after, I got into an accident and I messed up my car. So we, this way over here off Harvard, my kids go to the Salvation Army on 59th and Huff. I work at the Cleveland Clinic, and Sharia was working on West 25th. So we didn't have a car.
Wow.
That happened. We don't have a car now. And we realized that they say, oh, Lamar, since you was driving, we got Sharia got the insurance while you was out of the country serving in the military, but you wasn't active on the insurance. So we can't cover. And now it was some bogus stuff because that was around the same time Hurricane Katrina happened.
Yeah.
So they like, with them having all that stuff going on with Hurricane Katrina, they like, it's going to take some time to get to your case now. And then all said and done, they wouldn't go pay me out because I wasn't an active driver, because when it was signed, everything was signed, I was still overseas. Yeah. So I couldn't, even though I was on insurance, I wasn't an active driver on it. So whatever. Yeah. So we lost out on the car. Needless to say, so we need to go from Harvard. She need to go to the West Side. The kids need to go to on Huff. I need to go to Cleveland Clinic. We had to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And do you know, this was at the end of August 2005, which was, if y'all know, if you remember, we had a terrible winter that year. Mm-hmm. Terrible. So I remember taking a cover. We had to wake up at 3:00 in the morning, get the kids together. Sharia would have to go to work. I would take the kids to school. So we would take a cover. I'd catch the 15 down. Then I catch whatever bus goes across Buckeye. Then I have to get off. No, I catch the 15 down. Then I catch the other bus to go across Buckeye, across 55th to the Salvation Army. So me and the kids, I took a blanket and we bundled up in this blanket, weighed on the bus. And this was for at least this was from August to December. Because in December, when I had to, we was out there on the bus in December, what ended up happening. Now we did this from August to December. And that's, like I said, we had a terrible storm. And we still got Christmas shopping. We still got Thanksgiving. So we go into the grocery store around the corner, taking a grocery cart. So we got two carts in our garage right now because of that. Because of that. It wasn't Dave's at the time. It was a Tops. We had a Tops cart and a Family Dollar cart because of that. But in saying that, that was some of the things that we had to go through. I had to catch those buses, and then I have to drop the kids off. I couldn't drop the kids off no earlier than 7, but I had to be at work by 7:30. So it was just like, and then getting back home was a whole different story, because depending on who had to do what, I was at church all the time too. So we had to figure that out. And that's one of the things that helped me get stronger. It helped me know me and mentally and emotionally, no matter what, I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure we where we need to be at as a family. But that was a hard time. Now, thankfully, and this is what I mean, no matter what you're going through or how you feel about people, my auntie Miranda, she said God put it on her heart to come pick us up and take us to work. Now, she wasn't working at the time, but God put it on her heart. Sharia had to be at work at, I want to say 6. The kids had to be at work no earlier than 7. I mean, at school no earlier than 7. I had to be at work at 7:30. She would get up from December to January for a whole month, because that's when I was able to get a car. But she would get up for a whole month and drive over from Cleveland Heights to over here. And just go through that routinely every single day. I'm like, that was a huge deal. That was a huge deal. Like, she took us to work. Now, we still had to get the bus passes and stuff, but because we had to pick up everybody and get home. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk so much into that, but I understand what you're talking about. In saying that, like, you do got to go through challenges.
Yeah.
Like, you do. But it does make you stronger.
Yeah.
It does make you stronger. So what else do you feel whether it's self-evaluation to getting to the point where putting action to it, do you feel like we can touch on, or do you feel like will be a good topic or to a good standing point at this point?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I can't go off on that tangent.
No, you're fine. No, I never knew that about Miranda. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, she definitely did. All shout out. Like, Miranda been there.
But then again, like I said, it goes back to mama. Mm-hmm. It goes back to mama. You know, that mama made sure above everything, it was like y'all family first. Mm-hmm. Y'all family, you know. And I've never forgotten that, you know. And like you said, you know, when it come down to it, you know, they can have some kind of disagreement or something, but hey, put that to the side right now. We'll do that.
Cornell was the same way. Everybody's the same way. Cornell is the same way. Trish is the same way. Cornell, when Vicky passed away, I seen Cornell jump in, and not just Vicky. When Vicky passed away, when Mona Moms passed away, when Sharia passed away, when Terry passed away, when everybody Cornell jumped in, and that the ministry of what he did, how he did, and how he was there for people was automatic. Yeah. It was automatic. Trish, you know how she always was there with. When it comes to what's going on with the kids, what you need to do, like, do we need to take care of the kids? Hey, look, I'm about to go shopping. We can find the dresses. But I think I really appreciate that. Like, you're absolutely right. That's something that grandma did leave. That's a lineage that grandma did leave. And we can see it constantly. Anything else you want to say? Because I know we've been on here. This is just a continuation from the first hour.
I appreciate you having me on here. It's different, you know. I've never really done this before, but it was cool.
This is the first time, but it definitely will not be the last time. Once again, this is Wonder Why with the man L Wonder featuring Burtis Creaky Jordan, my uncle. Like I said, one of the smartest, one of the most intelligent, one of the wisest man I knew. And I definitely appreciate for all the things, all the wisdoms, all the nuggets of knowledge and wisdom that you have passed on to me. It's definitely showing through who I am and what I do on a consistent basis. So I hope I'm repping you well. Outside of that, once again, like I said, you can catch me on all the different podcast platforms. I am on Anchor. I am on Breaker. I'm on Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify. By the time you see this, I should be on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast as well. Once, like I said, this is your man, L Wonder. Thank you for joining us again on Wonder Why. And you have a great Sunday evening. We out.
If it ain't made by Elmar, then it's not lit.
Elmar, this one cold.